This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
التاريخ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتوا يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So today, 21 من شهر شعبان 1444 الموافق ل 14 من شهر مارش 2023 نواصل درسنا بإذن الله عز وجل في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So if you remember last week, alhamdulillah, we began with a new chapter about the prohibition of looking for imara, to become a leader. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us from this because the responsibility and the accountability with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so heavy. And we have heard from the first ayah quoted by An-Nawawi and also the hadith which followed that, which is a hadith of Abi Sa'id Abdurrahman ibn Samura, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him not to look for imara, throughout his life. He shouldn't look for it, and he told him that if you don't ask for it, and then it comes to you, Allah will support you. But if you ask for it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will withdraw his support and then let you do it alone. In the next hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Dharr, Abu Dharr was reporting the hadith to us. He says, قَالَ لِرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, يَا أَبَا ذَرٍ إِنِّي أَرَاكَ ضَعِيفًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَا أَبَا ذَرٍ, I see you as a weak person. He said, you are weak. وَأَنِّي أُحِبُّ لَكَ مَا أُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِي. And I love for you that which I love for myself. لَا تَأَمَّرَنَّ عَلَى اثْنَيْنِ وَلَا تَوَلَّيَنَّ مَالَ يَتِيمٍ. So he told him, Ya brother, he said, I love you and I love for you what I love for myself. He said, you're weak. And therefore, don't you ever agree to be the leader of two people. SubhanAllah. He said, don't you ever accept to become the leader over two people. So what if the leadership is over, you're talking about millions. In some countries, 1.something billion. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Dharr, he says, you're weak. And you know who is Abu Dharr, right? In terms of taqwa and iman, very dedicated person, somebody who stayed away from the dunya. Yeah, whenever it comes to zuhud, people remember companions like Abu Dharr, radiallahu anhu, stayed away from the dunya in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Ya Abu Dharr, because he knows his attitude, and in the future he might be facing problem living in the Muslim community, in that community, because he has some ideas and approaches. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sensed this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him that something might happen. So he told Abu Dharr, in the future, if people disturb you, what would you do? He said, Rasulullah, I have my sword with me. to take action. He said, no, don't do that. If they ask you to leave the place, just leave the place. So the time of Uthman, he has a lot of clashes with some companions, Muawiyah and others, because he has some strange opinion which he took them personally, you know, to be practicing them, which don't fit theirs. And as long as the rest of the community are doing something which is right, then khalas. This is my choice, this is their choice. As long as both are doing something right, then khalas. I shouldn't disturb you, you shouldn't disturb me. Abu Bakr, Abu Dhar insists that this is the correct approach to be followed. So Uthman radiallahu anhu advised him to move to Rabada, not according to the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who believe that he was chased by Uthman. No, Uthman advised him, since you keep having clashes with your brothers here, why can't you change the place and go to the village? In those days, houses are far from each other. So he moved immediately, remembering the wasiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they ask you to leave, just leave the place. So he moved to the place called Rabada, and he lived in that place for the rest of his life. They mentioned that when death approached him, subhanAllah, his wife cried and she told him, you see, this is the result of being impatient. You're supposed to be patient. And now we are in this village, you know, technically we are alone because houses are far from each other. Technically we are alone and you are about to die. If you die, as a woman, what can I do with you? I need somebody to help me and nobody is here. Help me to wash you and to pray for you and to bury you. You know, subhanAllah, he was listening to her until the time she finished. He told her, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say it, رحم الله أبا ذر يعيش وحده ويموت وحده ويدفنه رجال من المسلمين. He died instantly. He said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, may Allah show mercy upon Abu Dhar. He's replying her because she worried so much. He doesn't worry at all because he has something from Rasulullah about this moment. He said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, may Allah show mercy upon Abu Dhar, because he's going to live alone and he will die alone and a group of Muslims will bury him. Then he died. After a moment, she heard sounds approaching the place where she lived. She went out, she found Abdullah ibn Mas'ud together with his students. They are passing by. They did not know, they're just passing. That's why I guess Al-Dhahabi says, this is shahadu to Rasulullah, that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and his companions, they were Muslims and good people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised them because he says, yadfanuhu rijalun min al-muslimin. SubhanAllah, this companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Allah has blessed him with so many things. You know, even in time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Ahlaltu laka sawadi hatta anhak." I have legalized for you to come into my house without permission until the time I tell you not to do so. That's why the companions used to think that he is actually one of the members, family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of so many times they see him getting inside the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A very dedicated and strong scholar among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar used to call him kunayifun muli'a ilman. It's like small kids, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filled him with knowledge. It's a university, moving university. Even Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the leader of the scholars, you know, in the day of judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yub'athu yawm al-qiyamati amam al-ulama'i biratwa. That's Mu'adh. Is the one who is holding the flag of scholarship on the day of judgment. Very, very knowledgeable person. In terms of knowledge, you can say number one among the younger ones. But when he was about to die, they asked him, who would you advise us to go and study from? He said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, go to Ibn Mas'ud. So this Ibn Mas'ud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him very, very, very dedicated student. Al-Dhahabi says, Allah bless him with very excellent and dedicated and righteous student. So he was the one who came and he buried and he found the wife. She met them, so she was crying. They asked her, what happened? She told them that your brother had passed away. So they went, they washed him, and they pray for him exactly in the way the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. So this is Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. So in terms of righteousness, as far as qualification is concerned, you know, looking at the side of righteousness, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari is qualified. But the Prophet ﷺ looked at him because he knows what leadership is all about. He told him, Abu Dharr, innaka dha'if, you're weak. You cannot handle this responsibility. He says, I love for you what I love for myself. He says, La ta'ammaranna ala ithnayn. Don't you ever agree to become a leader of two people. Don't agree. As long as you have option, don't you ever accept. No matter what. Because those two people, they will be brought back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, and Allah will ask them about their life under your leadership. Yeah, last time somebody was sick, last time somebody was oppressed, what did you do? No? Wallah, it's a very big responsibility that if a person knows, he would not look for it. You know that there is a hadith, which is good to quote, to be quoted here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to beat somebody in his grave. You know, how many times they should beat him? 100 times. 100 beatings. And don't forget, these are angels beating. It's not human. These are angels beating. 100 times. So they kept on beating him in the grave. And he was screaming, asking them, what did I do? They kept on beating, and he was begging for discount, you know. They kept, because Allah commanded them, they have to finish. So they beat him until the time it became only one left. And then the whole grave became fire. SubhanAllah. That beating before the fire, but right after they finished, only one left, and then the whole grave became fire. Then they answer his question, because he was asking, what did I want to know? This beating is for what? You know what they told him? They told him, لِأَنَّكَ صَلَّيْتَ مَرَّةً بِدُونْ طَهَارَ وَمَرَرْتَ عَلَى مَظْلُومٍ فَلَمْ تَمْسُوهُ. Because there was a time it was recorded that you prayed one prayer intentionally without having tahara in the prayer. SubhanAllah. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, تَنَزَّهُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ فَإِنَّ عَمَّةَ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ مِنْهُ. Make sure that you purify and you clean yourself without exaggeration. Yeah, because you have in this life of ours, people exaggerate a lot. People are jumping up and down, people hanging some rope in the bathroom. They go up and down to make sure that the urine is completely out. People are running, people are pressing themselves. You know, these are all wrong practices. As Sheikh Islam bin Taymiyyah says, this organ that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in us is just like the place of the milk, the breast of an animal. Usually that breast, when you press, the milk will come and the new one will come. If you leave it, it will stay. So just like that. So when you disturb it, then it becomes so loose. That's why you have to suffer so much in the future. Otherwise, when it finishes, it finishes. When you wash yourself properly, it finishes, finished. Unless if somebody is sure that after he stand up, the urine will come back again. In this case, then he stand up so that the other one will come and then he wash himself. Other than that, these are just exaggeration and sickness that some people have. People spend hours in the bathroom. And some of them is just whispered. There are some people who are real sickness, physical sickness. He has to wait in the bathroom for so long. I'm not talking about those ones. I'm talking about those people who are having doubt. Maybe. So many things. And Islam is very simple. Somebody was walking together with Umar radiallahu anhu, and a drop of water fell on them. So the man was asking, Ya Sahib al-Mizab, this water is coming from where? Umar said, please don't tell him. This is exaggeration. Don't tell him. Why do you ask? Just assume that a good water comes to you. You get an idea. Al-asl huwa at-tahara. Unless if you have something, you know, concrete that tells you that this is not tahir, then you go. You go for it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises us to make sure that you take care of yourself. When you pass the urine, you wash yourself properly. He says, because the vast majority of the punishment in the grave is based on this. You remember those two brothers who were punished in their grave, and the Prophet ﷺ heard the punishment. And he says one of them is namam. You know namam, right? Namam is somebody who is going around people. You know, there are two brothers who are friends to each other, but he doesn't like that. So he do everything possible to make sure that they are separated. This is namam. Up to date, we have people like that. So the Prophet ﷺ said, these type of people will never go to paradise. Will never go to paradise. So one of those guys that was punished, he was punished because of this. And the other one, the Prophet ﷺ said, كَانَ لَا يَسْتَتِرُ أَوْ لَا يَسْتَدِّرُ مِنَ الْبَوْءِ. He doesn't purify himself, or he pass urine in a place where the urine will hit something and come back to him, and he goes and pray like this. So that man was punished in his grave because he prayed one prayer. Look at the nature of the punishment. One prayer without tahara. Plus, there was a time when he passed through somebody who is being oppressed by others, and he can help him to get rid of the oppression, but he did not. Yeah, so that you will know how much, you know, responsibility is on your shoulder if you are the ra'is and the leader and somebody is oppressed under your leadership. You Allah. All of those people, they will come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for their right. Yeah, it's very heavy. It's very heavy. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ told Abu Dhar, he says, Inni araka da'ifa. He says, I love you so much, but I see you being a very weak person. And then he told him, he says, don't you ever agree to lead two people. وَلَا تَوَلَّيَنَّ مَالَ يَتِيمٍ. And don't you ever agree to become the caretaker of the wealth of an orphan. Yeah, this is also another dangerous situation because it's not easy to do that. You are the caretaker of an orphan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really, really focus on you to see how are you going to deal with that person. His wealth has to be preserved. You cannot spend it anyhow. You must make sure that there is a big justification for the spending. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ. He said, do not give them your wealth. But this one, in reality, whose wealth is that? Their wealth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributed it to us. As the guardian, he says, our wealth. Because Allah wants you to feel that this is like your wealth. In the way you preserve your wealth, you should also preserve this. That's why when it comes to passing the wealth to them, he says, وَآتُوا الْيَتَامَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. He said, give them their wealth. Because now they are mature, they can handle and manage the business and the wealth properly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call it their wealth. But when they are young, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your wealth. Your wealth in the sense of protection, not in the sense of ownership. So it's a very heavy mas'uliyah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask and hold that person accountable of the way he dealt with that wealth on the day of judgment. قال وعن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله ألا تستعملني فضرب بيده على منكبي ثم قال يا أبا ذر إنك ضعيف وإنها أمانة وإنها يوم القيامة خزي وندامة إلا من أخذها بحقها وأدى الذي عليه فيها. أبو ذر said, I told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, why can't you appoint me and make me somebody? He wants some appointment. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, why can't you employ me? Allah tasta'amin, why can't you employ me for some of the responsibilities? He wants to contribute, he wants to participate much more than what he usually do. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, why can't you assign any responsibility to me? قال فضرب بيده على منكبي. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam take his hand and hit the shoulder of Abu Dhar. You know that kind of beating, right? Yeah. So he put his hand, he hits the shoulder of Abu Dhar to bring back his consciousness. And then he told him, Ya Abu Dhar, innaka dha'if. Told him, Ya Abu Dhar, you're weak. وَإِنَّهَا أَمَانَةً. And this is amana. وَإِنَّهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ خِزْيٌ وَنَدَامَةٌ. And it's going to be a regret on the day of judgment and disgrace on the day of judgment. SubhanAllah. That's why in some places the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, نِعْمَةُ الْمُرْضِعَةُ وَبِئْسَةُ الْفَاطِمَةُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the murdi'ah is the woman who is in charge of breastfeeding a child, taking care of a child at a younger age until the weaning time. وَبِئْسَةِ الْفَاطِمَةِ. The Fatima is the one who weaned the child. To get an idea, Murdiya is the one who is breastfeeding him, but Fatima is the one who handled the rest of the responsibility after the period of 2 years. So the Prophet ﷺ is referring to the dunya of the leaders. In this dunya, it's so excellent. You have all the privileges, you know. As a leader, you can just tell a person, I will see you in 5 minutes, you know. And usually you reach because you have all the privileges. You have a road clear for you, or you use the helicopter, you reach the place, you know. So many things, you know. Usually don't be late to the place where you want to go. And other privileges which you know and those which you don't know. Very nice and beautiful scenario which is dragging people also to wish to become like that. The Prophet ﷺ said this is how it is. But when people move back to the hereafter, this is when regret is going to take place and people will start to reflect upon the past, and regret is not going to benefit. إِلَّا مَنْ أَخَذَهَا بِحَقِّهَا وَأَدَّى أَلَّذِي عَلَيْهِ. Except one person, somebody who leads the nation. Because not everyone is the same. There are some leaders who are really dedicated to benefiting the community and they're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those ones, they will pass the test on the day of judgment. It will pass the test on the day of judgment. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it will be a regret and disgrace except for somebody who took the responsibility and he did that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put on his shoulder. So there is a way out, right? Yeah. So that's why the scholar said, it's just up to a person, you know, to either take it or to reject it. And Islamically, it is not a matter of choice, you know, or option. No, it's either you can do it or you stay away from it. That's it. Either you can do or you stay away from it. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not care. He is going to ask you about every single thing that happened under your leadership. Yeah, even if it is one day, that one day that you have the whole country under your control, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first one to hold you accountable. So we have to redefine the way we think. You know, when you accept a leadership, you have to understand that the first responsibility is your responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Rabbul Alameen. And this is the heaviest one. Then to the community. Yeah. The first one is the one between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then to the community. And the one with the community is much easier than the one between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just want you to understand why the predecessors, they used to run away. They used to run away from this. They used to do everything possible to make sure that they don't handle anything. وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ سَتَخْرِسُونَ عَلَى الْإِمَارَةِ وَسَتَكُونُ نَدَامَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, you are going to look and wish to become the Amir, the leader, you know. But he says on the day of judgment, unfortunately, it's going to be nadama, regret, for anyone who takes it. So as I said, whoever has the intention to become a leader, always remember these and then make your decision based on that. And always ask yourself, am I ready for this? If you're not ready, just go and look for your business and get involved in the business. There are so many ways to benefit the community. Not only through the leadership you can benefit, you can benefit the business, the community in many ways. So you should always reflect on these ahadith and then make the decision accordingly. And also it's good, even if you don't have the intention also to become a leader, to read these type of hadith, because it helps you to understand how much, you know, responsible and how much danger and how much risk is there in the job. That will help you, inshallah, to make dua always for the one who is leading, for him to succeed. Ya Allah, they deserve our dua, and we really need to pity them. Yeah, view the responsibility, how heavy it is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide him. قَالَ بَابٌ حَثُّ السُّلْطَانِ وَالْقَاضِي وَغَيْرِهِمَا مِنْ وُلَاةِ الْأُمُورِ عَلَى اتِّخَاذِ وَزِيرٍ صَالِحٍ وَتَحْذِيرِهِمْ مِنْ قُرَنَاءِ السُّوءِ وَالْقَبُولِ الْقَبُولِ مِنْهُمْ. Right? It says, this is a new chapter. I don't know whether the time will permit us to go through it, but let us translate at least the title. This is a chapter that will talk about the recommendation and motivation by the Sharia. For who? For the Sultan and the Qadi. Qadi is the judge. وَغَيْرِهِمَا and whoever is leading the Muslim community, ministers, governors, prime minister, and whoever. So Sharia is advising him to make sure that he takes Wazir al-Wuzara Salihi. Who is Wazir? That deputy and the ministers. Those people who are around the leader, the advisors. Yeah, because this is necessary. Yeah, success lies on this. The key to the success, you know, of the Khulafa al-Rashidin lies on this. Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Uthman, they were surrounded by who? Rijal Salihin. They always advised them to do good. That's why they were able to make it. And they were very humble. They always consult them and ask them what to do. After them, you have Umar bin Abdul Aziz. During the time of Ali, situation started to change because people start to get corrupt. That's why somebody asked him. He told him, how come in the time of Abu Bakr, we didn't have that much of clashes between the Muslims? In the time of Uthman also, the same thing. In time of Umar radiallahu anhu, also we didn't have what we have in your time. SubhanAllah, he gave him a very nice reply. He said, because in the time of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, they were surrounded, those khulafa, they were surrounded by people like me. But unfortunately, in my time, I'm tested to be surrounded by people like you. That's why the situation never changed. You know? So it's necessary to have those people who are closer to you, people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, subhanAllah, the personal advisor is very dedicated. His son also was very dedicated to the Sharia and to benefiting the community. And his freed slave also was like that. Those three, you know, they stand to make sure that he is doing that which is correct. I remember there was some amana that was supposed to be returned to their people. Umar said, we will do it, inshallah. And he gave a few hours after this moment, I'm going to pass it back to them. His son told him, what are you talking about? Who told you that you are going to live until you see that moment? He said, what do you want? He said, now we should return it back to them. SubhanAllah. Those kind of people were surrounding him. That's why when they died, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them, almost all of them. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz made the dua. He said, Ya Allah, you know that I have no support in the community, somebody who is always guiding me and advising me in the right way except these ones. And you have taken them back to you. Ya Allah, you know that I cannot lead without these ones. And as such, Ya Allah, I also want to follow them. SubhanAllah, he died in a few days. That's why the scholar said, if you are a leader, because in Islam, you are not supposed to ask for death. No matter how much hard is the situation, you don't ask for death. You should always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you long life in righteousness and try to make your life better and better. But there are circumstances where you know that your life might be in fitna. You know, you are in a very dangerous situation. And the more you live, the more you put yourself into trouble. especially with the leaders. You can join Umar in his dua. Yeah, obviously, if you know you're righteous, you can make this dua. Otherwise, you're just bringing yourself to accountability very quickly. Even in that situation, the scholar said, it is recommended. It's just a permission given to you by the Sharia to ask for it. But if you're good and you are ready for that, because meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not simple. But if you're ready for that, I don't know when are you going to be ready, but if you're ready for that, you can ask for it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might grant you that one. But you have to understand that life is an opportunity given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look into what you have been doing, to see whether it is correct or if it is wrong, you repent. That's why the Prophet said, nobody should ask for death because either he is righteous or he is a bad person. If he is righteous, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him longer life, that's an opportunity for him to increase the righteousness. Because the more righteous you are, the better place you get with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person is not righteous and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut off his life, he went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that kind of evil attitude, that would be khasarat al-dunya wal-akhirah, that would be tragedy. So that's why it's good even for this person to be given a long life, because the longer he lives, the more opportunity he gets to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have people who repented at the last minute. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut them off in one of the accidents. They lost this opportunity. So that's why no matter how much hard is the situation, don't you ever think of taking off your life or even to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take off your life by himself. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, unless if you believe that you have to ask for death, then you should put it in this way. You should say, Allahumma ahini idha kanat al-hayatu khayran li. Ya Allah, give me long life. Let me live as long as life is better for me. Take off my life as long as death is better for me. This one, the Prophet said, if you insist that you have to ask for death, then put it in this way. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose for you what is better for you. Because he knows, and we don't know. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamu. So this is a topic that inshallah we will be dealing with in the next class. But I guess the next class, since we have only one class left, right? Maybe we shall summarize something about Ramadan. I think that would be the best. Then after Ramadan, we can begin a fresh topic, inshallah. So the next class, inshallah, I will talk about Ramadan in general, inshallah. Okay, barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.